We begin the Kandav Masechet Eiv and Daf Memhei. We begin 9 lines up from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah from the previous Daf. And that is, our Mishnah spoke about, although you're generally not allowed to leave your Tchum of 2,000 Amos from wherever you are, however, there are certain people, those people that are a midwife or someone that's going to save people, Hatzalah member, they're allowed to leave their Tchum. However, once they find out that they're not needed anymore, so what do? So our Mishnah spoke about what is necessary, that they get 2,000 Amos from where they hear the news, and that's it. Then our Mishnah continued and said, "V'chala yitzin lahatzlan." All those that go out to save, chayzlim coming, they could go back to the place where they started from. To which the Gemara asks, "V'afila tuva?" That sounds like even more, meaning even more than 4,000 namas. V'amid reisha. But we said in the first part of the Mishnah that said that according to everybody, if at least his tchum, his new 2,000 namas, which we said that Chacham designated 2,000 namas, which although you generally get just 4 amas when you leave your tchum, since these people left with permission, with rishus, to do a dvar mitzvah, to say about the Eidus HaChodesh, that the new moon came about, or to save somebody, or to help someone give birth, that therefore we gave them their own 2,000 namas. We said if that 2,000 namas overlaps the original 2,000 namas of the original tchum, then we said they can go back, at least according to some opinions. However, but if it wasn't overlapping, then everyone agrees only 2,000 amas you get and not more. So how could the end of the Mishnah contradict the beginning of the Mishnah that said you only get 2,000 amas? And here we're saying no matter how far they go, it seems that it's saying that it says all those that go out to save, they can go back to their place, even if it was much more than that. So the Gemara gives two approaches. Amar Yehuda Marav. So Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that don't say it means even more than 2,000 amas. Because in truth, you're right, it's like the beginning of the Mishnah said, you only get 2,000 amas. What the Sefer is coming to say, the Chiddush is Shechayzrin B'Kli Zayin L'Mekayman. Those people that go out to save, they're coming with their warfare, with their guns and their ammunition, they can go and bring their weaponry back to the city where they came from. And we don't say that once it was done, it's done, and that the fact is they really fought the war and they have to leave their weapons where it was, and that they shouldn't be Mechal Shabbos by bringing it back to where they came from. As the Gemara will explain later why it's necessary to bring it back, because although you would think the war is over, whatever they did, they saved from the bandits, now you have to leave your weapons because you can't be Mechal Shabbos to bring your weapons back. And that is what the Chiddush Mishnah is saying, that Kol Yitz L'Hatzel Chazim Koyman doesn't mean more than 2,000 Amos. It means only if it's within 2,000 Amos, like any person that goes out for a Dvar Mitzvah for Rishos. But it just means they can bring back their weapons. But now the Gemara asks on the question that it had. My Kushu, what was the difficult? In other words, the original interpretation was that it sounded like the Mishnah was saying, whoever goes out to save can come back no matter how far they went, even much more than 2,000 or 4,000 Amos. But then we said, how could that be? Well, I mean, the beginning of the Mishnah said, all these people that have permission to go out, including the people that go out to fight the war, they only get 2,000 Amos and they can't go back to this city. So therefore the Gemara revised it and said, no, you're right. You can't go more than 2,000 Amos. Rather, it means you could bring your weapons back. To which the Gemara asked right now, what was so difficult that we asked the question? Dilma lahatzel shani. Maybe to save is different. And that is when the Reisha of the Mishnah said that whoever goes out brishos, whoever goes out with permission, that there they say they only get 2,000 Amos. That, you could say, that was Togmad by someone that's saying testimony in front of the Bezdin that the new month has started because they saw the new moon, or by a woman that was helping a midwife to give birth. But maybe there's someone that's coming Lahatzel, that's coming to save from the enemy, and that there you have to be concerned that maybe the enemy is going to chase after him, and there, even if it's more than 2,000 Amos, maybe you could come back into the city. What's the big question? Maybe the Rishon Sefer are talking about different cases of Rishus. When it's not a case of danger in the sense of enemies, there you only get 2,000 Amos. When you're coming to do a Dvar Mitzvah of when you have enemies, maybe there we let you come back to your city even if it's more than 2,000 Amos. So the Gemara says, you're right. If that alone, that wouldn't be a difficulty, and we could say the Habala Hatzel means go back to your place even more than 2,000 Amos. Eli'ikash or Hokash, but if there is a difficulty, and that's why we have to revise it to say that you're right, you can't go more than 2,000 Amos, it just means you could bring your weapons back, it was based on the following question. That not like we learned the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, that says, B'rishaynam, lo'hayuzazn misham kolayam kulay. Originally, that those who would come, that they would not leave from their place that they had come to the entire day. And that is, it's a reference to those who would leave their tchum to come to the Bezdin in Yerushalayim to say about the testimony of the new moon that they had seen, as it says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on the Chaf Gimel Beis, that they wouldn't leave that spot because we know the halacha, as mentioned in the previous Mishnah, that whoever leaves his tchum, he only gets Dalet Amos. However, Hiskin Remlil HaZakin, Remlil HaZakin, however, instituted, Sheyesh L'Nalpayim Am L'Chol Ruach, that they do have 2,000 Amos in every direction, and that they're not stuck to the 4 Amos which they came to. Not only for these type of people did he institute that they get 2,000 Amos and not just Dalet Amos, or even a midwife that's coming to help a woman give birth, or which is the case of what's going to be the contradiction, or someone that comes to save from routing enemies, umin hanar, or from a river, umin hapoilis, or from a building that has collapsed, umin adlik, or from a fire. In other words, all these people that are coming to help out and save. Harein ka'ansheir, they become like people of the city. V'yeshon hapayim am l'charuch, and they get 2,000 amas in every direction. Now, that is going to be the contradiction that it said one of the cases was Habola Hatzel, and it says you only get 2,000 amas, which is the question. Besuloi, and is it true that you only get 2,000 amas even for the people that come to save? But Vahamri, but we said in our Mishnah, which was what we began our Gemara with, Kala Yitzel Lahatzel, whoever goes out to save, Chayzun Lemekoyman, they go back to that place, which is Mashma Filatuva, even more than 2,000 amas. So how can you say in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah that all you get is 2,000 amas? And that is what the Teretz was saying, that Amar Yehuda Marav, Shechayzim Kli Zayin Lemekoyman. You're right, you only get 2,000 amas even if you're going out to save. This that it says that you always go back, Lemekoyman, it meant to include that your weapons, that you could bring that back. Because you're telling, like, Linda Brisa, which explains why this was, that you could bring your weapons back, because Lechayr, you shouldn't be able to bring your weapons back. You did what it had to be. Now leave it there, you fought the war. You can't be doing Chil Shabbos by bringing your weapons back. So the Brisa says, because Birishayna, you're right, originally they would leave their weapons when they would be coming back because there is no hetter to bring it anymore. You already fought the war. And they would leave it by the house that's closest to the wall of the city. In other words, the first place where they can find a safe place to put it, they wouldn't bring it back all the way to their house. They would leave it by the first house of the city. But one time, it happened that the enemy recognized these people that had gone out of the city. They ran after them. V'nichnesu, then those who had gone out, they came into this city, little klezainu, to take their weapons, because now they were without their weapons, they had to drop it off. V'nichnesu oivin achareim, and then the enemy went chasing after them, where their ammunition had been, and it was a very narrow home, where it was the first home by the wall that they had left it. Dachgu zeh zeh, and these people, they were trying to grab their weapons, they were pushing each other, v'horgu zeh zeh, yosim asher horgu oivim, and they killed each other more than what the enemy had killed of them, because it was such a stampede, people were trying to get their weapons, and it was such a narrow area, so therefore they ended up killing more of their own, by themselves. So at that time it was instituted that they should be able to bring their weapons back with them and not have to drop it off, because as we see in this incident, there's still danger there. And therefore, that's the resolution. That although it seems like you can't go more than 2,000 amas, that's correct. And our Mishnah that says, it means they can bring back their weapons with them. That's one approach to resolve this contradiction. Rav Nechem Yitzchok, he gives a different approach. He says, Loikasha, there is no contradiction from the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah to our Mishnah. Kan, over here in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, that gives you only 2,000 amas, Shenitzchu Yisrael, es umas oilam, that's where the Jewish people went and they vanquished, they conquered the enemy. So therefore there, you're right, you only get 2,000 amas, because what are you going back? You have no right to come back more back to the city. In other words, we're not talking about the weapons. We're talking about, as we had originally assumed, that we're talking about Tchumen going back to your place. But the contradiction was Rosh Hashanah says you can't go back, only 2,000 amas. That's when we won the war. So then, of course, you have no head to go more than that. Can, but in our Mishnah, where the other nations had conquered the Jewish people, then we say that you can go back even all the way to the city, again, because of the danger, obviously, that we're not in control. We were conquered and we were defeated. And therefore, then you could go back all the way to the city. And it is talking about the area of Tchum, and that is, as we explained, our Mishnah is not a contradiction, because the first part that says you only get 2,000 amas is talking about a midwife or Eidus HaChodesh, and the Sefer is talking about regarding a war. But regarding the other Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that says even by Habala Hatzel you only get 2,000 amas, that's when we win, but when they win, we can go back all the way to the city. So now on the same topic regarding a Mechama, war on Shabbos, so another statement from the Amori that was mentioned before, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Nachrim Shetzora Ala Yaris Yisrael. If non-Jews come and they wage a war against a Jewish town, we cannot go out against them with our weapons. And we cannot desecrate the Shabbos to help fight against these non-Jews, as the Gemara is going to explain that we're talking about they're only coming for monetary purposes, not to kill people. So as the Gemara says, Tanyam Hochi, similarly we're learning the Braisa. Nachrim Shetzara V'chulu. If non-Jews come and they try to besiege a city, so the Brisa explains, when did we say this? As we had mentioned before, that we cannot go out with our weapons to fight them. That's when they're coming for monetary purposes. They want to steal our money. They're coming to kill Jewish blood. Then we're allowed to go out with them, even on Shabbos, with our weapons. That we could desecrate the Shabbos. Then the Brisa continues. ubi'ir hasmucha lasfar. And regarding a city that is by the border, by the boundaries that this city separates between the boundaries of the non-Jews and the Jews, then afil leboa al iske nefashah. And even if they're not coming to kill Jewish people, il al iske tevin bekash. Even if they're just coming to steal straw and stubble, something very insignificant, we can go out against them with our weapons, umachalin the Shabbos, and we could desecrate the Shabbos. The reason why, Rashi explains, is because if they're going to capture that town, which is a strategic area, and that is because now it's going to be easier for them to get into and infiltrate our country. So therefore, although it's just for a monetary purpose, since it's protecting the border, we can go ahead and fight them, even if it's not that their intent is not to kill Jewish people. So the Gemara continues and says, "Amar Rabbi Yisrael ben Yumi, Amar Rabbi Nachman, Ubavel ki'iras mukhlis v'ardami." And in Bavel, that's like a city that's considered near the boundaries, which is, even if they're coming for monetary purposes, we can go ahead and fight them to protect the area of the Jewish population. And the Gemara says, "Vataguma," and it was interpreted, what city in Bavel is the one that's considered near the border that we can fight them, even if it's not al iske nefashos? There was a reference to Narda. Narda was a city that was near the non-Jews on one side and was near the areas of where the Jewish people in exile were on the other side. So therefore, since there was a strategic area, even if it's not for iske nefashos to kill Jewish people, you can go ahead and fight and be mechal Shabbos to protect that area on Shabbos. So the Gemara brings a riot to this. That it's even if it's not for iske nefashos, but if it's on the border, then you can go ahead and fight. Darshib destoy diminbiri. Mind chziv, what does it mean, the pasuk in Shmuel Aleph that says, Ve'yigidu la David leim, it was told to David the following thing. Hine plishtim nilchamim b'keilah. Behold, the plishtim, the Philistines, are waging war in keilah. Ve'yimishisim esagrandis, and they're pillaging the threshing floor. What does that mean? What is it relevance does pillaging the threshing floor, where the food is, have to do with fighting the war and protecting the Jewish people? So the Gemara said, "Tanu le'na b'raisa ki'ila ir hasmuch l'svarhoisa." That was a city that was by the border. V'heim lo bo elal iski tev mekash, and all they were coming for, the Philistines, was for straw and stubble, and that's what it means that it was esagronis. They were coming just to the grunis, to the threshing house, to get the straw and stubble. And yet, in spite of that, we find that David HaMelech was moisin nefesh on himself to go and save the Jewish people. The like it says in the pasuk. They were pillaging the threshing house. All they wanted was tevin and kash. And it says afterwards, "Vayishal David b'Hashem lema." That David asked to Hashem regarding ha'elech v'hikasi b'plishtim elish. Should I go and smite and fight these Philistines? And Hashem told David, "Lech v'kisa b'plishtim." Go ahead and fight and beat up the plishtim. V'yishates keila, and you will save keila. So therefore, we see this concept that even if it's just for Tevin Bakash, but if it's by the border, you can go ahead and fight. So Agav the Gemara asks, "My Kimi Boili, what was David's question that he came to ask by Hashem this question? If his question was this idea, that since it was Shabbos, he was asking, am I allowed to go out and fight, even though they're not coming to kill Jewish blood or not, and that's what Hashem was answering, that since it's by the border, you can go ahead and fight. But Hare Beis Din Shel Shmuel HaMasikayim, but the Besdin of Shmuel, his bezdin was still around. And regarding something that's what's called issev heter, that you have a shaila in halacha, in Arichaim, Yerideh, Cheshmish, but you go ahead and you ask the dayan. You don't ask the urim v'tumim, which is basically asking Hashem straight. Leba shemaimhi, you ask Torah questions to the judges. So why would he be asking Hashem? Ella imatzlich iloy matzlich. Rather, his question was, he knows he's allowed to fight, as we said, because it's on the border. And the border, even for monetary purposes, you could fight on Shabbos. His question was, if he's going to be successful or not. As the Gemara says, Dekinami, a precise reading of the Pasuk also shows this. The Chassid, like it says in the Pasuk, Lech v'kisa b'plishtim. Hashem said, go ahead and fight the plishtim. V'hoysha'ata es keila, and you will save keila. Obviously, what Hashem was telling him was the news that he's going to vanquish them, he's going to be menatzeich in war. Shema minah, that's the idea that it's teaching, that he was going to be successful, but obviously he knew he was able to fight. But Tosfos asks, well, how can Reb Destoy say that you know from this pasuk of David HaMelech that Yimachal Shabbos? Maybe he was talking about during the weekday. And even if you're going to say that David was unsure, and if it was during the weekday, what would be unsure of fighting the Plishtim? Obviously, if it's in reference to Shabbos, and that was Hashem said that even on Shabbos, since it's on the board, you could fight them. But that can't be, because as we just said, that his whole question was if he's going to be successful or not. And therefore, that could be a question even during the weekday. To which Tosfos says, it's obvious from the fact that it says that they were milcham and bekeila, go ahead and wage war in keila. It's calling it milchama. And we find that David HaMelech was meisa nefesh on that. So obviously, that even though they were only coming for Tevin and Kash, you see that you are Mechal Shabbos because of Mechama and something that you're Meis and Nefesh, obviously is something that would also validate doing that on Shabbos. And that's the source again, that even though it's just for monetary purposes, if it's on the border, you can go ahead and fight them and be Mechal Shabbos on Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme about somebody regarding halachas of Tchumen that he finds himself outside of a city on Shabbos. So the Mishnah begins, Misha Yasha Bederech, somebody that was on the road, and he was relaxing because he was tired. He didn't know that he was in the boundary of the city, and it got dark, and it got Shabbos, V'omar, he was standing there. V'rah, harehu samachlir, and then he realizes, once it's already Shabbos, that he's near the city and he's in the Tchum of the city. So the Mishnah says, "Hoyil v'lo hoyse kavanos lekach." But since his intent was not for that purpose, in other words, he had no clue that he was in the tchum. He was just worn out, and it's almost Shabbos. I know I'm not going to make it to the city, so he goes to rest, and it's already Shabbos. And he says, "Wait a second, I am in the tchum." He saw the signs possibly that said this is ad kan tchum. So now he wants to go in. On that, the Mishnah says, "Lo yikonis." He cannot enter the city to be like people of this city. Rather, from the area where it got dark when he was there at Bein HaShemashes, from there he measures 2,000 regular footsteps, which each footstep is considered an anama, until where that 2,000 anamas ends, that's until how far he can go into the city. Dibre Meir, that's the opinion of Reb Meir. He does not have the area of the city because he did not have kavana to make his shvis over there. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Yikonis, Rabbi says, no, you can go in. Look, you were in the, just like if you were in the city, it wouldn't make a difference if you know it or not. You're in the city, that's your shvitzah. Here also, you were in the tchum of the city, you have the halacha of the city, and you could go into the whole city. As he says, Rabbi Yehuda Maisa, there was actually an incident just like this. The next one is Reb Tarfon, but let me scoff, Reb Tarfon entered the city, even without the intention that he did not know when he was by the border, that he was within the tchum of the city, and it was already dark. And even though he didn't have that intention, just to stay where he was, but once he found out he was in the tchum, he went into the city. As the Gemara brings a braisa that illustrates this, Tanya Lutna braisa, or maybe Rabbi Yehuda says to back up his position, that you could go in even though you didn't know about it, as long as they were in the tchum by Bein HaShemashes. Ma'is Reb Tarfon, there was an incident with Reb Tarfon. Shahoy Mahalach Baderach, he was going on the road, V'choshcholoy, and it got dark for him. V'lon Chutz Le'ir, and he went and he slept overnight outside the city. He thought he's stuck wherever he is. He can't get to the city. Anyways, his 2,000 amas is not going to help him. L'shachar is Matzu Roy Bakr. But in the morning, the shepherds of the cattle, they went and they found him there. Amaloy, they said to him, Rabbi, Harehir Lefanacha, the city's in front of you. Hikanez, go inside the city. You slept within the tchum of the city. So he went in and he sat in the Beis Medrash. And the whole day he was lecturing in the Beis Medrash. So you see that you could go in even if you don't know that. So Amar Loi, the Chacham responded to Rabbi Yehuda, said, wait a second, for two reasons it's not a raya. Misham raya, from there it's a proof. One, first of all, Shema Baliba Haisa. Maybe he had it in his heart. And that is when he was sitting there, he knew that the city, that he was within 2,000 amas of this city. Although the shepherds came and told him, that doesn't mean he didn't know. He had intention. Therefore, that's why he went to the city. And that we agree, if he was mechaven for it, that it's going to work. Another thing they say is, you're right, there was such an incident, but maybe the Beis Medrash was within the 2,000 amas. He gets 2,000 amas. He just doesn't get the whole entire, like is he from the Bnei Yair to get the whole entire city and the 2,000 amas in all directions. He gets somewhere he is 2,000 amas. So although we know he was within the tchum, so he was definitely able to go into the city. Maybe the shul was within his 2,000 amas, so the reason that he was there was not because he became like people of the city, but rather because it was within his 2,000 amas that he gets by virtue of being outside and having a shvis over there, so therefore there's no raya from that story. Again, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah on the same topic regarding someone that spends Shabbos outside of a city. But here it's a little different. It's not talking about someone that just was sitting there and he didn't know, but he was actually sleeping during the time of Bein HaShemashes when he acquires his Shvisa. A Mishnah begins. Misha Yoshin Baderach, someone that was sleeping on the road. So he's all worn out, he was traveling, he fell asleep on Friday afternoon. He wakes up Friday night or Shabbos day. But Lo Yodesh Shechashech, he didn't realize he wasn't awake when it got dark. Yesh Le'apayim Am L'chol Ruach, Divre B'yich Menur. Mirchim says, in spite of that, he was sleeping, he gets 2,000 amas, like anything, that any person that gets 2,000 amas, around where he is. V'chamayim Ein Le'ela Arba Amas. Come say, however, he only gets Dalar Amas. And the reason being, since he was sleeping at the time that his Shvisa was being acquired, he was not having Kavana to acquire a Shvisa. Then we don't give him a Shvisa, we just give him his place. If he has a shvisa, a place where it is halachic residence for Shabbos, so then he gets 2,000 amas in all directions. Here he doesn't have any shvisa. He was not awake to acquire that, and therefore he doesn't get more than his body, which is an area of dalar amas. And regarding the opinion of the Chacham that you only get Dalet Ames, we have two different interpretations in that opinion also. Rabbi Lazar Imer, Vahu Bem Tzon. But he is in the middle of those Dalet Ames. In other words, he doesn't get four Ames in all directions. Rather, his body, his area is 1 4 Ames, and then he gets two Ames in each direction, and not more than that, because it's four Ames all around. Rabbi Yehuda Imer says no. Whichever direction he wants to go, he can go Dalet Ames. He's not stuck to two Ames in either direction. It's not that he's in the middle. He can choose either one. However, Rabbi Yehuda does agree, Shembirulai, however, that if he did choose, in other words, after he chose one side that he wants to go Dalet Ames, then he can't go ahead and change and choose the next side to go Dalet Ames, because that would technically be giving him eight Ames. He doesn't say that you're mandated to just two Ames on either side. You can get four Ames either side. However, once you choose to go four Ames one way, then you cannot go four Ames the other way. You can't even go one Ame. You only could go the four Ames in that direction. Now the Mishnah says, Huyishnayim. Let's say there were two people. There were two people that, let's say, the same case of sleeping, they got stuck and they're both traveling together and then they both collapse on the ground. Now, each one, when they woke up, which means that was the area they were there during Bein HaShemashes, they're six Ames away from each other. As the Mishnah says, Miksis HaMaisav Shal Zeh B'techa Maisav Shal Zeh. Only part of the Ames of each one overlaps into the Ames of the other one. That is, as we said, each person gets four Ames. So now we have an overlap of two Ames of each one that goes into the other one's area. So then the Mishnah says, Mevi'in Va'echem Em. So they could come and bring their food and eat in the middle between them, but in those two Ames. Again, if they're six Ames apart, this one goes four Ames, this one goes four Ames. You have an overlap of two Ames. In those two Ames, they share that area, that is both of their areas of their tchum, so they can share and eat inside that area together. However, the Mishnah continues in Amud Beis, which says, Ubovad shalo yoytizeh, as long as this one doesn't go ahead and take out, that is, he doesn't stretch out his hand, mitech shaloi, from within his Dalet Ames, l'tech shal chaver, to the Dalet Ames of his friend, and that is to the outermost two Ames, that there he doesn't have any area belonging, that he can't go ahead and take out his bread or his objects to that area. As we said, they only share these two Ames. But the next two Ames, which is from that person for Ames, that again, that's out of his tchum already. And as Rashi explains, because a person's objects have the same tchum as his body. As the Mishnah Masechet Tzibeah, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph says, that habehema v'hakeilim, the person's cattle and his vessels, they are karagli habailim, they get the same tchum as the owner. And that is, as we're saying over here, each person just gets Dalet Ames. The Rabbanan made it for that person as it's a reshus hayachid. It becomes his own bias. And therefore, he's now go ahead and take out or take in from outside into the other areas. And therefore, again, only in these two Ames where we share, it's like considered our reshus hayachid together. And therefore, there which we could share our objects also. But I can't even take my object and put into your Dalet Ames, because that would be taking out of my reshus into your reshus, out of my tchum into your tchum. That would be a problem. Now the Mishnah continues, that was with two people. Let's say they were Hayu Shleisha, there were three people, and they all three collapse on the ground, and they wake up. V'emtzoi muv lebenein, and you have these three people laying on the ground, and you have these three people that they overlap one into the other. And that is, we have two Ames of one into the other, and two Ames of one into the other. So therefore the Mishnah says, Hu mutter imahin. The middle one is mutter with the other two on either side. That is, as we said before, we have each one that's six Ames away from the other. So each one is overlapping the other one two Ames. So it comes that only the middle one is in truth overlapping the other ones, because the one on the corners, he's not related to him. So the halacha is that the one in the middle, he could lean this way and share with him. He could lean this way and share with that one. And v'hein mutar nemai, and they're also permitted with him, because each one on the corners overlap with the middle one at least two Ames. However, v'shnayim ha'chitzayim masurim zeh mezeh, but the outermost two obviously can't share with each other, because they are not overlapping with each other and they're forbidden. So Amr Rabbi Shimon says, Lama Hadava Demu, what could this be compared to? What's a good analogy to describe the situation of these three people that the middle one could share with the two outer ones, but the two outer ones cannot share with each other? L'shalash chatzeres, to three courtyards, one next to the other. Hapesuchais zulezu, that each one has an entryway from one chatzer to the other one. And upesuchas l'shus ram, each one is open into the reshus ram. That is, each one is its own reshus. And that each one does not have what's called drisa seregel, does not have a necessity of a right of way to go from one to the other. As Rashi explains, because had it been one inside of the other, let's say only the outermost opens to the Rishas Aram, and then you have from within it a courtyard behind it, and the courtyard behind it, and the only way the innermost courtyard could get out is through going through the two in front of it, then everyone would be asur to carry even in their own area, because that would be considered, if you don't make an Erev, as if it has drisus haregel, that they have a right of way to go in that courtyard, and therefore you can't carry there, because each one would make it asur on the other one, because we could be here and we don't share in you. And that becomes considered a chatzar she'in murevis, that it has of all many different partners. You have to make an Erev to be able to carry in the chatzar, and therefore Rashi explains, the Mishnah says, necessarily speaking about, that you have three courtyards side by side, each one opening to Rishas Rabim, then we say each one is viewed on its own. So then the halacha is, Irvu Shtayim Imam Tzayis, if the two outermost courtyards join together and make an Erev with the middle one, so he Mutarasi Mohen, so the middle one is permitted with the two on each side because it's Mu'uriv with them, the He Mutarasi Mohen, they're permitted with it also because they made an Erev with it also. But the two outermost ones are forbidden to go ahead and to carry from one to the other because they did not make an Erev with each other. That's the parallel to the case we're talking in the Mishnah of three people where they are, in a sense, like that same idea that we have this overlap that they're considered joined together. So the middle one and the outer ones can do it together, but not the outer ones with each other because they are not, they're like the chatzeris, the anamu uruv. Here they don't have their overlap, so it's going to be us. So now the Gemara tries to understand the beginning of our Mishnah. Bayi Rav, Rav asked the following question to understand the opinion. What does Rabbi Yochanan understand? What's his opinion when he says that even someone that's sleeping gets 2,000 amas? Not like the Chacham that said you only get dalad amas. There are two options. Either Mizbar Kesavar Cheftze Hefker, that is because he holds that regarding ownerless objects, that regarding vessels that have no owners, and during Bein HaShemashes, it was in one place. So even though no person went and had a kavana to have das for it to be kaina a shvisa because it's ownerless, no one's thinking about it, let me see where this should be for Shabbos. In spite of that, he holds kaina shvisa, that an ownerless object acquires a halachic residence of Shabbos in its place, and therefore a person cannot move it from its place more than 2,000 amas in either direction, even if the person that's picking it up did make an Erev, and that he can go 4,000 amas in one direction. It doesn't make a difference because this object acquires its shvisa in this place, giving it 2,000 amas, and not more than that. And therefore, Ubedinu Deliflik Bekalim, in truth, really, Rabbi Yechanan ben Nuri should have had his machlokes in our Mishnah, that this that it requires a shvisa of 2,000 amas, even not just by a sleeping person, but even by vessels which are ownerless that have no das at all. And because the whole principle of the sleeping person that did not have intention to have a shvisa because he was sleeping, the whole principle is based on of Kalim Shal Hefker, because if we find that Kalim that are ownerless, that they have a shvisa, so therefore definitely a person that was sleeping. And therefore, so why didn't we say it by vessels, which would have been a bigger chiddush, where there is no das whatsoever? Truth is, we should have said it did, but behold, the reason why in our Mishnah we argue by a sleeping person was to tell you the chiddush of the other opinion of the Rabbana that argue that they say you only get dalad amis, the avagav de ikala meimer, hoil v'nir kanda, that in spite of the fact that it's a person that had he been awake, he would have acquired 2,000 amas. Yashin namikon, you would think that even if he's sleeping, he should acquire 2,000 amas. Kamash mon deloy, that's why the Chacham had to tell you a chiddush in their opinion, that even if it's a person, but because he's sleeping, he only gets 1,000 amas. But in truth, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that argues and says a sleeping person gets 2,000 amas. In truth, he says that even by a vessel that has no dust whatsoever, doesn't make a difference. Even a non-thinking entity, such as a sleeping person or even a vessel, gets 2,000 amas. That's option number one. Or maybe option number two is Ksavri Bihmanuri Ba'amwa that Cheftze Hefker ain't Kain Shvisa. The truth is, an ownerless object that has no das doesn't acquire any Shvisa. It cannot create its own residential area for Shabbos. So what's the reason over here regarding the person that's sleeping that he gets 2,000 amas? He also has no das to be Kain Shvisa. The reason is because Hoyil V'Nir Kana, since had he been awake, he would acquire an area. So it is something that has a locus, it has a place, it makes a shvisa for its area, at least when it's up and thinking. So Yashinamikon, so therefore, even when it's sleeping, it is also acquiring. What is the pshat in Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Is it because he holds it's legara, it's no different from Cheftze Hefker that are koine shvisa? Or is it because he holds, no, Cheftze Hefker are not koine shvisa, but it's because it's a person, and a person is a thinking entity that gets 2,000 amas even when he's not thinking? So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yosef Tashma. Rabbi Yosef says, let's bring a raya from the following braisa. We learned Gisham Sheyardu Me'erv Yamtiv, regarding rain that came down from before Yamtiv. So that water has 2,000 amas in every direction. b'yamtiv, but if the rain came down on yamtiv, harein karagla kol adam, so then it doesn't have its own area that is to give it a shvisa of 2,000 amos in either direction. Rather, it becomes like the person that is, since it wasn't around in Bein HaShemashas, it didn't rain yet, so therefore, wherever the person that picks it up, his area is, that it, let's say he made an area and he has 4,000 amos, that becomes the area of the water, of the rain, and he can take it wherever he wants, to wherever his tchum is. So the Gemara brings the raya as follows. If you say like the first option, and that is Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri holds that not only a sleeping person, but in truth his principle is based on even an ownerless object that acquires its own residential area. So Hamani, so who is the Tan of this Bryce that says that if it rained from before Yom Tov, that it has 2,000 amos, and that it's not karagli kol adam, and that is it gets its own shvisa. So obviously this Tana holds that chefzei hefker, ownerless items, which is what rain is kaine shvisa. So who would that be? Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri is he. That would be Rabbi Yechonon, because he's the one that says chefzei hefker, you kaine shvisa. So if it rained from before Shabbos, and it wasn't owned yet, but it gets its own shvisa by the virtue of just being an object. But if you say that Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri does not hold that ownerless objects get a shvisa, it's always karagli adam because it never acquired its own area. So Hamani, who's the town of Abraisa? Lo Rabbi Yechon ben Rabbanan. It's not like anybody, because Rabbanan definitely don't hold. They hold even by sleeping person, you don't get more than dollar amas. For sure not chefzei hefker. And now you're saying even Rabbi Yechon ben also doesn't say you get a shvisa by chefzei hefker. So who would the town of the Abraisa be? Obviously, it's like the first option that we said, that Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri holds the chefzei hefker icon shvisa. So Yosef Abaye become the Hoshmaitzah. So Abaye was sitting and he was saying over this statement of Rabbi Yosef that the raya is that Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri holds that the reason why a sleeping person gets 2,000 amos is because it's based on this principle that chefzei hefker get 2,000 amos, that it is kind of shvisa. So I'm Rav Safra Labayim, the dimma big shamim has smuchin li iraskinan. Maybe it's not a raya. Maybe we're talking about this rain that came down from before Yom Tov. We're talking about rain that came near a city. The anshei oseir daita malayu, and the people of the city, they were like, oh, finally it rained, we have water. Their das, in other words, it was the equivalent of them being koyin the shvisa. They wanted the water, so then therefore became like the tchumen of the city, because at least it came down from before Yom Tov. Now we want it, so now it's ours in that a sense of we wanted to have this area. So that's why it gets 2,000 amos, because it becomes like the people of the city. But if it was hefker, then no one was koyin it in the sense of wanting it, then you're right, it would not be koyin the shvisa, and it would be correctly kaladim. So Amalei Abaye said to Rav Safra, Lo Yisagadaydach, you cannot entertain such a thought to say that the reason is because of the das of the anshei ir. Rather, it must be because even though it's chefzei hefker, it's koyin the shvisa. Did not, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Beis, that is, we find elsewhere another Mishnah that says that chefzei hefker are koyin the shvisa. And that is, we have a contradiction of different Mishnais. And obviously, you have to resolve it and say that one of them is going to be like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. And then therefore, we could resolve the chefzei hefker akain shvisa, as the Gemara brings the Mishnah in Beya. Bar shel yachid, regarding a pit that's owned by an individual. Karagla yachid, so then the water in that pit gets the status of the tchum of the owner of that pit. And therefore, even if somebody else takes the water from that pit, he can only take it to the area where the person that was the owner of it could take it to. And therefore, if he made an Erev to the east, he can't go ahead and take it outside of the city to the west, even one step, because since the owner had his area going with an Erev, 4,000 amos in that direction, someone that takes the water cannot go even one amos in the other direction, becomes the status of the owner of that pit. And let's say it was a pit of that city, so that's similar. Karagli Oisahir gets the tchum of the people of that city, and that is it gets 2,000 amos in every direction. And if, let's say, one person went and he made an Erev to the east or to the west, he can't go ahead and take it more than 2,000 amos out of the city, because although he can go because he made an Erev, but since the city has its tchum of 2,000 amos in either direction, he can't take it more than the area of that city. Similarly, the Mishnah says, Vishal Oili Bavel. And regarding those people that come up from Bavel, that they would go up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and these pits were ownerless, they were just on the roads and people would use them, Karagli Hamamali, they become like the people that fill them up, and that is anything that's hefker, that's ownerless, whoever picks it up, he acquires it, and therefore this person that went and drew the water from the well, even if he gives it to other people, after he filled it up for himself, it becomes like his tchum, like the one who drew the water. So obviously you see that something that's hefker is not koine shvisa, that we see it gets the status of the one that fills up the water, and therefore that it doesn't have its own tchum of 2,000 amos. Yet, v'tanya in another braisa, ber shel shvatim, regarding the pit of the different tribes, which is a reference to those coming up from Bavel, Yesh le napayim am l'chol ruach. They do have 2,000 amos in all directions. Obviously, you see that the water in the pit does acquire a shvisa, and therefore it gets its own 2,000 amos, and that it's not keragli kaladim. So kashna adadi. So you have this contradiction of these two tanoik statements. Do we say that it is kaina shvisa and it gets 2,000 amos, or do we say it doesn't get 2,000 amos and it's like keragli mimali? Whoever picks it up, it becomes the area of his own tchum. And lav shemam. Now, obviously, to resolve this contradiction of the tanoim, you have to say that ha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the one that says you get 2,000 amos, is going like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. That is like the first option of our question, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds a chefze hefker are koin shvisa, and that's why it does not become karagel hamamali. It has its own tchum of 2,000 amos. Ha Rabbanan, the one that says that it's kememali, like the one who fills it up, like the Mishnah and Masechtas Beya, that was going like the Rabbanan that argued Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and therefore again this was how Bai responded to Rav Safra. You can't tell me that the reason is because It's the das of the people of the city that are getting the rain. Because even though you're going to try to be deich over here, I'll prove to you that you have to say this concept that Rabbi Yosef was proving, that the Rabbi Yochanan Nuri holds the reason being is because chefze hefker are kain shvisa. So the Gemara gives the follow-up of this incident. Ki asu l'kamed Rabbi Yosef, when Abaye, who is a Talmud of Yosef, came in front of Rabbi Yosef, so Amalei, he told his Rabbi, hachi kam Rav Safra. This is what Rav Safra said to ask on your pshat of the rain to prove that chefze hefker are kain shvisa, that he wanted to say it's not because of that, it's because the people of the city, their das is on it, so therefore it's not hefker, and that's why it becomes like the people of the city. But hachar hazle, and this is what I answered him, Rabbi, you should be proud of me. I gave him an answer, I proved to him that it has to be chefze hefker are kain shvisa, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So Amalei, Rabbi Yosef told him, why do you have to go to another source to disprove him? Why didn't you tell him from this source itself? And that is, you cannot say that the reason was because of the das of the people of the city, and that's why the Geshem has a tchum of 2,000 amos. Because Isa g'daytech b'ksham hasmuchin li'erskin, if you, it's like he wanted to say, that is because we're talking about rain that's near a city, and was the das of the people on it, hay yesh l'napayim am l'chol ruach, would it make sense to say the terminology that it said that they get that the rain gets 2,000 amos in every direction? It should have said that it doesn't get the tchum of 2,000 amos, it gets the tchum of the people of the city. And that is because you're saying the whole basis of it is not because we're saying Hefze Hefkar Kain Shvis, but rather because the people of the city, their das is on it, it's not Hefkar anymore, it becomes like them. So therefore, it's not just 2,000 amos from the locus of the rain being 2,000 amos in all directions, it would be like the people of the city, that it gets wherever it is, in whatever direction the city is. So obviously it is because, like Rav Yosef said, that Hefze Hefkar Kain Shvis, and not like the way Rav Safra tried to disprove it. So now the Gemara continues, Amar, we said before in the Braisa, Yomtiv, when it rains on Yomtiv, harehin karagli kaladim. So it becomes like the person, like the feet of all the people, that is the one that picks it up, since it wasn't around when Yomtiv started, when there was a Beina Shmashis, which is when Shvisa's chal. So therefore the rain can't have its own tchum, its own Shvisa, therefore it's like a non-Shvisa-like, and therefore the one that picks it up acquires it and creates it as Shvisa when he picks it up on Yomtiv. Tzvi Gemara asks, why is that? Vamai, likni Shvisa bo kainis. It should acquire its halachic residence for Shabbos when it is in the sea. That is, where did this rain come? Yesterday it was in the sea, and today it came from the clouds down onto the earth. So therefore, it came from out of the tchum, from whichever sea it was in. And therefore, basically, the Gemara's question is, it should not have more than Dalet Amos. We know that something that leaves its tchum, it only gets an ear of Dalet Amos. Why are we saying that it becomes like the people of the city? Because it never acquired a tchum. What do you mean? Where was it yesterday, Ben Hashmashas? It was in the sea. It was in the ocean. And therefore, that is where its tchum is. And now that it went up to the skies, it evaporated, and then came the condensation, and it comes back down onto the ground. It came from out of the tchum. So you should only be able to have it within Dalet Amos. Why does it get the area of the tchum of the person that picks it up? To which the Gemara says, so lemi dolei kerbal yezva. From this idea that we see that it's not considered going out of the tchum, and that it doesn't just, it's not just required to be in Dalet Amos. Let's say it disproves Rebbe Eliezer. Di Rebbe Eliezer, ha'amar kol olam kuloi mimeo kainis hushaisa. Eliezer said that the entire world drinks from the ocean. And that is, he said, that all rain is basically, you know, where the water evaporated from the ocean goes up, and then we drink that wherever the clouds take it to. And if it's like him, then again, it should have been out of the tchum, and it shouldn't be karagli kaladim, it should be just in Dalet Amos. Rabbi Yitzchak, he says, no, it's not a disproven of Rebbe Eliezer. Halcha ba'avim sh'niskashim erbi yom tibeskin. Here we're talking about with clouds that already gathered together and were bound up from before Yom Tov. And therefore, it was not in the ocean when Yom Tov started. Ben Hashmashas, it was already in the clouds. The clouds were just held up there for a long time till it rained on Yom Tov. And therefore, it was not coming from outside the tchum. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, that it's because we're talking about that the clouds were there from before Yom Tov, but maybe these clouds that you saw already yesterday, that the, you know, was already cloudy yesterday, and we see that it's because, and now we know we can take it wherever we want to, and it's not stuck with Dalai Lama because it was not in the ocean yesterday by Banish Mashas. Maybe those clouds already went. Maybe these clouds that now today are raining on Yom Tov, maybe there are other clouds, and that it got cloudy again, and therefore what was raining now really yesterday was yesterday in the ocean by Banish Mashas, and therefore it should be usher more than Dalai Lama's. How do you know it's the same clouds? Maybe those are other clouds, and therefore this rain is from yesterday in the ocean, and therefore you should have to only allow it within Dalai Lama's. To which the Gemara answers, "The islu simon abigavai." That we have a sign. We know we were able to tell what these clouds look like by Banish Mashas, and we saw that, and we saw it was still there. And then in the middle of Yom Tov it rains. Oh, now we can take the water wherever we want to because we know that these were not kohen shvisa in the ocean. It wasn't coming from outside of the tchum. The ibay same. Another pshat the Gemara brings is, you're right. We're not sure. We're not sure if these clouds are different clouds or the same clouds, but ultimately have a suffix to the rain. All it is a suffix of an Issa Drabbanan, because Tchumin is only Issa Drabbanan. The suffix de rain lahakal, and the suffix by Issa Drabbanan, we go leniently, and therefore, although there's doubt about if these are the same clouds or not, since it's only a suffix, was it yesterday in the ocean or not, therefore we could be make and take it wherever we want to. Those are the two approaches to that question, and therefore it does not disprove Rabbi Eliezer, maybe that all clouds and all rain does come from the ocean. But now I'm going to ask a different question. The Likni Shvisa Ba'avim. So good, it didn't acquire its shvisa, its residence, in the ocean. So it's not coming from out of the tchum, and it's not just relegated to Dalai Lama's. But why don't you say, it was there, where was it? Then where was it when Yom Tov started? It was in the clouds already. If it was in the clouds, let it acquire shvisa in the clouds. Tifshid mina, so let's prove from this. From the fact that we said that this water that was acquired its shvisa yesterday in the clouds, and it comes down today, that we say that it's mutter to go and take it, karagla kaladmi, you could take it wherever you want to, we should prove the ain tchumen l'mal miyud. There's a question elsewhere in the Gemara that says, do we say that the is of tchumen, of boundaries of 2,000 amas, applies to an eerie even above 10 tfachim from the ground? So let's prove that there is no tchum higher than 10 tfachim. The yesh tchumen, because if the isser would apply to even above 10 tfachim, so likne shvisa ba'avim, we should say that it acquires its shvisa in the clouds, and therefore it's coming from out of tchum up in Shemaim, wherever the rain, the clouds are coming down from, and where the rain is coming from, and therefore it should be usher more than Dalai Lama's. And yet we say it's mutter karagel kaladim. Obviously, that there is no kinyan shvisa, there is no iser tchumen above 10 tfachim from the ground. To which the Gemara says, "Lo yilamem lechol yesh tchumen." Truth, I can tell you that there is the application of the lochas of tchumen even above 10 tfachim from the ground. However, umaya be'eva mivlabli, but the water in the clouds are absorbed. And that is, in the sense, it's like it's not there. And therefore, it didn't acquire any shvisa whatsoever yesterday. You're right, it wasn't in the sea. So where was it? It was in the clouds. It was in the clouds. Why isn't it acquiring over there? Because it's like it's not there. There's no, it's not in that element of it being water. It's in whatever form it is in the cloud, in the gas, or whatever it is. Therefore, it's not acquiring any shvisa. And that's why it's not going to be stuck to Dalai Lama's as if it came out of Tchum, because it wasn't there by Banish Mashas. To which continue on to the top of Memvav Maralv, to which the Gemara asks, if that's the case, that it was like it wasn't even there, it only became liquefied after it was Banish Mashas, so then Koshikin most definitely should be Aser on Yom Tov, even more than what we were assuming of Dalai Lama's, the Havalu Nailed Dasiri, because now what it is, it enters into a category of Mukta that is something that was born, that was created. That is, this liquid wasn't even here when Yom Tov started. And therefore, not only should it be relegated to Dalai Lama's, you shouldn't be able to even move it at all from its spot, because now it's Muktzah. Something that's Neulah, that was not here in this form on before Shabbos and Yom Tov, and now it is in that form, is Muktzah. So therefore, if you're saying that it wasn't liquid, it was only a gas or whatever was in the clouds, and now it only became that, so therefore, not only should it be Dalai Lama's, you shouldn't be able to move it at all. So the Gemara says, that's not the reason. It's not because it wasn't there. It was there. But the reason is because water in clouds are constantly in motion. And as the Gemara is going to prove in a moment, that something that's in constant motion never acquires a shvisa. Shvisa is a residence where it's there, it stopped, it's stationary for the period of Banish Mashas, then it gets. But since it's constantly moving in the clouds, it's rolling around, therefore it's not kind of a shvisa. To which the Gemara concludes and says, Hashdas lahi, now that you said this, that that's the reason with the clouds, so kindness namiloi likshalach, so therefore the question of the ocean that you asked on Rabbi Eliezer, that even in the case if, let's say, we don't have the clouds, or that we don't know for sure it's the clouds, and we ask if it's coming from the ocean, so it should be coming from out of the tchum, that's also not a question of our original question, because maya b'kundes nami meidaydi, because water in the ocean is also constantly in motion. And Betanya will learn the brayser to this fundamental principle: naharis hamoishchin, that streams that are constantly in motion, umayonis hanoyven, and flowing streams harehin karagel kol adam. it gets the tchuma of the person that picks it up. And the reason is, since it's constantly in motion, it does not acquire shvisa. And therefore, even if it's from an individual, it's not karaglav. Whoever picks it up, he gets to make it his own shvisa. And therefore, we resolved it on two levels. Either we're saying that on the clouds, the reason why it's not difficult is because moving there. And then we said, even according to the original question that we asked, that how can you go ahead and have the rain to take it wherever you want to? It's coming, as Rabbi Eliezer said, from the ocean, and that's outside of the tchum. Reason is, when it's in the ocean, it doesn't acquire a shvisa because it's in constant motion, and something that's in constant motion is not kohen a shvisa.